short sales and REOs will be a prime section of the market for probably 2 or 3 years to come.
2009. How is the real estate market performing, and what does it mean if you want to buy or sell?
There really is a stabilization that you can feel.
We talk with real estate expert Dave Jinks, who sees reasons to feel optimistic. And it turns out Dave is trying to sell his home right now. We'll find out what he's doing to get his house sold. Welcome to Call on Colleen, the real estate netcast for people interested in buying or selling homes in Shelby County and Birmingham, Alabama. I'm David Black, part of the Colleen and David Black Keller Williams Realty team. Our program is designed to bring you helpful news and information involving Birmingham and Shelby County area real estate. And this time, you get to hear views about the market from a very knowledgeable real estate analyst. Dave Jinks is Vice President of Research and Development with Keller Williams Realty. We spoke with Dave in the fall of 2008. Now, with the first quarter of 2009 behind us, we decided to check in with Dave again to find out what real estate markets are doing. At the time we spoke last year, there was more economic uncertainty than just about any time. We didn't know who was going to be president. We were barely hearing the words bailout at that point. A lot has happened since then, and we would just love to get your perspective on what's happening with the real estate market across the country in the different markets with respect to what's going on in the national economy. That's kind of a broad general question, but what are your observations on how the market is progressing at this point?
Well, I think that everyone knows we're in the bottom of what will certainly be an extended trough, right? I mean, there isn't going to be a quick jump out of this. That being said, there really is a stabilization that you can feel anywhere that you look and for whatever you hear. And of course, one of the things you always look for is consumer confidence and the expression of mood or economic attitude in the media. Right? I mean, it isn't because that causes it, it's because that tends to reflect it. And what we really see is that since the new president took over and, you know, with all of the kind of moves that has happened, that consumer confidence is significantly up. It isn't robustly optimistic, but it's up. And that is a big deal. When you look at the kind of activities in the market, you see a leveling off of the decline in prices and a leveling off of the decline in activity. I would view it, having been in the business almost 30 years now, as the beginning of the start back up. Now, how fast that'll happen, I don't know. This summer will be a very interesting time because we're just now moving into the serious buying time of the year. So we'll see. I know anecdotally people that I work with who have been out in the market in the last month tell me that activity is up, you know, that attendance at open houses, that the number of people looking, that's up.
I have heard some.
So those are all good signs.
I have heard some fears about unemployment climbing. The latest numbers I heard were that it's over 9%, 8.9%. Do you see that as a potential fly in the ointment, or are you still of the feeling that the consumer confidence can outweigh this in terms of people wanting to make big purchases like buying
homes? That's all part of the reality that we're dealing with. I mean, we are clearly in a serious recession, an economic decline. Unemployment, you know, could pop over 10%. It could get up toward it. So it's not going to be it's not going to be a quick turnaround, a robust recovery. But our focus here is on the housing market, and I think that what we feel right now are a couple of very important things. One is the government is doing, through its normal incentives and plans, everything it can to shore up the home buying situation. I mean, the programs that help people renegotiate their loans, they've now put in an incentive on that for the banks so that they're more willing to do that. I think the first time buyer's tax credit is a big deal. So far this year, about 53% of all purchases are first-time buyers. Traditionally, that is around 40%, 38 to 42%. So that's a significant increase up, but I think that pent-up demand was built up over the last two or three years as people sat on the sidelines. So I think there's a loosening up of people's willingness now to go look and to buy.
You know, the financial markets the past several months have really tightened down on generating so-called bad mortgages. Speculative buyers are not nearly as abundant in supply. They're largely out of the picture. In your view, has this cleaned up the market, or do you see REOs and short sales complicating it?
Well, I think that any time that the financial institutions overreact, either way, right? I mean, they overreacted during the prime lending time, and they toward being too loose, and now they've probably gone back the other way, and made it a little too tight. It's a good thing. The economy needs that to be kept at standards, so that we're not, you know, lending money to people and putting them in bad situations that they can't handle. But I think that you're right. There's these different factors, and I hear you mentioning them. Yes, short sales and REOs will be a prime section of the market for probably two or three years to come. I mean, it's not going to go away easily. But on the other hand, that makes an incredible opportunity for buyers and investors, and so. You know, it's obviously a difficult challenge for the institution, that the banking institutions, the financing institutions, and it's a challenge for the people that are in the tough economic conditions and have to handle a short sale. But there's a lot of responsiveness in that arena now. I mean, it used to, at the beginning of this, I mean, there was just horror stories about how long it would take for a bank to make decisions. That really has improved significantly in the last 6 months.
You know, several months ago, it was unthinkable to consider interest rates dropping below 5%, and yet today, here we are. Where do you see them going? We were talking about what a great time it was to buy some time back last fall, but now, with these rates where they are, what do you see ahead?
Well, I don't see how they can go a lot lower. So because they're really just at these all-time low levels, and you know the drop down, you know, over the last year from, you know, around five, you know, a little over 5%, 5.16, 5.25, that kind of area, down to 4.78. I mean, that's not what you'd call a massive drop, but what it does is it really just sets up again such a wonderful time for people to buy a home. And what, you know, real estate agents know is that the available selection out there and the pricing is just, it's just in a great situation. So add the interest rate to the fact that prices are now back down on average to the 2003 level. So basically we've had our 6-year bubble and now we're back to what it was in 2003. And it's just a prime time to buy.
Do you think some people may be taking an unnecessary chance by counting on the rates to maybe go lower and, in the meantime, risk losing out on some good inventory?
Well, I think there's no reason to wait. The interest rates are not going to go down a lot lower than they are. They really aren't. There's no room for them to, truthfully. If anything, you know, even though the Fed and everyone else is really trying to keep them low, there are factors, economic factors, realities in the financial institutions that could pop them back up, and pop them back up pretty quickly. So my fear would be more on the other side if I were a buyer. I would rather get in at what is clearly a provable low rate. Any little bit of drop below this isn't going to make a material difference. If I wait and all of a sudden they pop back up, now I've lost that opportunity. Second thing is, just as you said, the inventory out there right now is just the number of homes that are on the market at incredible prices is really amazing. Probably the hardest thing for a buyer is really to make the decision as to which home, because there are so many good deals out there, right? You almost kind of like you end up shopping too much. I think the thing is, find the neighborhood you want, find the school district you want, find the general area you want, get the help of a good realtor, go in and tell them you're looking for a best buy. You want to know, and you want them to show you the data that shows that this home or these homes you're looking at are in, you know, what we call in our book shift, the active market, where the sales are. In other words, it's going to be at the best price and the best condition. And then make your selection there.
We talked at one point before about something you called the affordability curve with respect to appreciation trends. And if I recall correctly, you said that we were really gradually getting back to the 4% or so a year trend. Do you see that trend continuing at this point as we get into the second quarter of 2009?
Well, the thing is that we have rolled back down below that 4% trend. In other words, if you took that beautiful long trend line that was there for about 20 years it obviously varied across it, but if you just took a look at that 4% a year trend line that went through about 2001, and then you extended that, you could have seen that in the last 6 years the bubble going up, the over increase in prices. And then, of course, beginning in 2006, but 2007 and 8, it really rolled off. Now we're back below that 4% line. So the thing is that from a long-term point of view, it's sort of overcorrected, which makes me really believe it's going to move back up toward that line.
It'll gradually shift back to normal.
Back to that. It'll readjust back to that line. The interesting thing is that, and this is another thing for first-time buyers and for agents to reflect to first-time buyers, the affordability index is as low as it has been in probably over 15 years.
Wow.
For sure 10 years. Right now it only takes about 15% of the family income to take care of a median mortgage payment. Okay, this is a national average, obviously. It reached a high of 23% in 2006. It's never in the last 10 years been lower than 18%. So what that means is, because of the low interest rates and because of the now drop in prices, that someone just uses a much smaller percentage of their income, 30% less income, less percent of their income than it cost 3 years ago to own a home.
In other words, housing is very affordable.
Housing is very affordable, and it shows up in the numbers. And again, that's, you know, there's not anything that says that affordability number is going to go much lower than it is now.
Let me switch gears and ask you what your advice and your words of wisdom are for people who want to sell.
Well, I think the words of wisdom there, and I'm selling a home myself right now down in Texas.
Do you need an agent, Dave? Oh, never mind. Just thought I'd ask.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, I have one, in fact. Why I have the agent I have is that he is incredibly analytic. He's incredibly in touch with the marketplace. He knows the numbers. He shows me all the numbers, so I know where I stand relative to the homes I'm competing against in my own neighborhood. I see where I stand against the homes I'm competing with in a bigger zone of the MLS, if people were kind of generally searching a bigger area than just my neighborhood. And so, you know, we've positioned ourselves as one of the, our goal was to be in one of the five least expensive in the category, because that's what a seller has to do now. They have to understand that it isn't about what they'd like to make on the home, what they paid for the home, or even what they owe on it. It's what will the market give them? What can they gain from the market? Well, the first thing they want to gain, particularly someone like me who has already moved and therefore I need to have that home sold, is I need to have it sell. I mean, I need to be, I am competing against, that's the way you look at it, I'm competing against the other homes in the market. So I put about $20,000 into rehab. I mean, just absolutely spiffing it up, getting it in order, new carpet, new everything. You know, had a stager come in and take a look at those repairs that needed to be done, and as well as the cosmetics, and did some work outside and the landscaping and all that. Well, you know, am I going to recover that $20,000? No. I really don't think I will in the price, but I will get it, but it will help me get it sold. Which, so I therefore will recover because I won't have that obligation any longer. So you have to stage it right, meaning make sure it just shows really well, and number two, that it is priced better than whoever the other homes are you're competing against.
And if you're selling what you feel your home is worth, has nothing to do with this.
It doesn't. In fact, it's not an emotional decision in any way. It just isn't. You can't, if you let emotions get involved, then you end up costing yourself money. Because what you'll do is you'll what we call chase the market. You'll wait to drop your price, and then of course the market may be going down, or other homes are coming on the market. See, one of the things I realized was that I'm coming in on the market right now. There are going to be other homes probably later in May and June where people are finally deciding they need to sell or they're going to move, and now they're going to come on. Well, now I have more competition. So rather than trying to wait and get a better price, I want to sell it now because now I have the least competition.
In other words, wasting time really works against you when you've got all the other competing inventory.
Well, it does. It works against you both if the market's declining any further, you're going to deal with that. But just like you said, it's a competitive situation. I, as a home seller, am a competitor against all the other sellers trying to sell their homes in my category or in near my category of price range and location. And I have to view it competitively. And if mine's going to be the one that sells next month or this month, then I have to be the best deal in the market.
Last year, you talked about a research tool Keller Williams uses on a national scale. I think you call it a marketplace trajectory. And you indicated to us at the time we spoke last year that we were seeing, in a lot of markets anyway, maybe not all, but a lot, that we were apparently heading a little bit back toward a seller's market. What are you seeing from the market trajectory now?
Yeah, we see it continuing. We could see it continuing in that way. So our indicators would be that we are moving back toward, and basically so people who are listening understand, what we're really doing is we're looking at the number of homes coming on the market versus the number of homes that are selling. So it's not this measure you get nationally, which is called months of inventory, because that just shows you what's happening right now. This shows you what direction it's going in. So what we see is that the national inventory is now flat at around 9.7 months of supply. It was up high, up over 10, almost 11 months of supply. So that's good. The supply is down. What we see happening is, and we do it by region of the country, if you took a look at it in 2006, almost all of the country had this trajectory going down, meaning that conditions were worse this time of year than they were this time of year last year. Now what you see, if you look at that, and we kind of have it color-coded with red being going in the dark red going in the wrong direction, orange headed in the wrong direction, yellow pretty moderate, blue, and then green being it's headed in the right direction. Well, if you look at the country right now, I would say that nearly half of it is green, about another 30-35% is blue, and so that means good, and only about 10% is, maybe 15% is what we'd call level, about the same this year as it was a year ago, and there's only one a part of the country that's actually worse than last year.
Wow. So I would think then, I would infer then that you are pretty optimistic about the remaining quarters in 09.
Yeah, what we're seeing is that I am. I would say that from these numbers, what it shows is that more and more homes are selling versus the percent that are coming on the market, right? So that if 10 homes come on the market and 10 homes sell, then you're kind of at an even situation.
More of a balance.
More of a balance. But if 10 homes come on the market and 15 sell, then you're in what would be considered a good trajectory, particularly if it was compared to last year. We're two-thirds of the country is in a better place than it was a year ago.
I've heard some economic experts say that they think 09 is going to be a pretty good year for the market, that it's going to pick back up notably, but they're very cautious about 10 and 11, thinking there could be a slide back. Any thoughts on that?
I don't know why there would be, truthfully. I think that we've been dealing with the toughest part of this, particularly the breakdown of the financial institutions that took place in 07 and 08. I mean, that has just set rippling effects across the country, and of course the government is scrambling to just try and deal with all of that. I don't see anything that would cause sort of what you're calling a rebound. I think it's just going to be a slower curve out of where we are. But, you know, here's the thing. You know this, David, and that real estate is a local phenomenon.
Absolutely.
You can look at all these national numbers, and you can kind of get what the national trend is. But, you know, the real wisdom sits right there in your own backyard. That's where the action is, and the conditions are different in every neighborhood and every local marketplace. That's where the smart, the savvy consumer, the savvy buyer, and the savvy seller, that's why they work with their real estate agent to get the local numbers. It doesn't matter what's happening nationally. The only thing that matters nationally, to me, is interest rates. And that is a national phenomenon. And those interest rates are clearly solid. There's nothing there. And I suppose another thing that would affect it is government policy and programs. So all the financial support that's there for people trying to renegotiate their loans or for first-time buyers, everything that's national that matters locally is in a good place.
What I really hear from you in summing up is that if you want to sell right now, you can. You just have to be attentive to the market and be motivated and price it right and present your home correctly. And if you want to buy, it sounds like it's a no-brainer.
It is. I mean, the brainer is just making sure you have the right professional help and that you you're making a smart buy, that you're seeing why this particular property is good. You know, the one thing I would say is that it's in addition to kind of treating it locally, it's important for sellers to understand that, you know, if they're selling, then they're buying. I mean, almost everyone who sells their home, they're going to buy another home somewhere, and so what you feel you may be losing on when you sell it, you're going to make up, because when you become a buyer, now you've got all the economics on your side.
Right. Let me switch gears here. I understand you are now a free enterprise warrior. Tell me about your latest business venture.
Well, you know, after 30 years in the real estate business and about 35 years in the world of business, I really realized that there were a lot of people, and particularly at this time in history, who were starting and launching their own new businesses. And so I just felt it was important for people who are doing that to get some really good perspective on the fundamentals of launching and running small businesses, what we call entrepreneurs, right? So my partner and I, Lori, have launched this new, it's web-based, of course, to begin with, because that's the day and age we're in, so it's freeenterprisewarriors.com, and it's really meant to be a meeting place of people who want to help each other improve their businesses.
Kind of an online incubator, then?
Well, we're an online information resource. So we'll provide webinars, we're doing training. People can ask questions and get answers. They can blog with each other on our site. It's a social network site, but we're really calling it a business network site. It's not about, you know, where did you have dinner last night? It's about what did you learn looking at your P&Ls last month.
Good deal.
So it's really a resource for people that are launching businesses, and what we say in our statement of purpose that we're part of activating the global transformation. And what we see around the world, both in the third world countries and with the demise of big corporations, Wall Street, the big financial institutions, the auto industry, all of that, is that the growth of job and business opportunity is not going to be in the big corporate arena. It's going to be in small businesses.
The little guys.
Small, service-oriented, personal service businesses. Yep. Some will be technology-based. Many won't.
Well, best of luck with it.
Thank you.
You know, every time I talk with you, Dave, I feel like I'm getting a thorough education in real estate economics, financial economics. You're like attending a university for me. So
Thank you.
I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. And I have to caution you here. We've got your phone number now, so we may pester you to get some more updates later on as the year goes on. Is that okay?
I would be happy to do it, David.
Great.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That's Dave Jinks, Vice President of Research and Development with Keller Williams Realty. Oh, and Dave, we are hanging on to your number. A reminder that you can find just about everything you'd want to know about Shelby County, Alabama real estate at one website. It's a pretty easy one to remember, calloncolleen.com. Colleen is spelled, by the way, with two L's and two E's. If you'd like to email us, our address is info@calloncolleen.com. You can call Colleen at 205-356-5412. We thank you for listening and hope you'll join us for our next episode of Call on Colleen. Our theme music is provided courtesy of Vinnie Palmer. I'm David Black. See you next time.